Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship, O God. Let us not be constricted to an old system. Let us not be confined to an old way. Let us be loosed and free in your sanctuary to lift up holy hands, to shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph, to know that everything that we have been through, to every valley we have walked through, we know that we were not alone, for you were there with us. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've already done. And God, we walk in victory through the blood of Jesus, through the cross at Calvary, through the empty tomb. Father, I thank you that it was borrowed. It wasn't a permanent resting place, for this too is borrowed, Lord. We are only on borrowed time, for the time of eternity is in your hands, O God. You have come to give us life and to give it more abundantly, O God. Let your people begin to live their life in abundance, O Lord, and to have the fullness of joy within their heart and in their spirit, for tonight is a night of deliverance. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. My. Woo! Yes, God, yes. My. Oh, that lying devil. Ha. He's been lying to you too long. Oh, freedom is in the house. It is your night of freedom. My. Witchcraft is broken over your life. My God. Woo-wee. Lord. Oh, there has been some spiritual things loosed. My. Oh, I feel it. I see that there's been some pictures wrapped up with some yarn and some thread that has been sprinkled with blood, and your picture was in a pot. But I hear the Spirit of God says, I have broken the chains and I have set you free. I have broken the curse. I have reversed the curse. You are set free. You are walking your liberty. You are walking your freedom, for my blood has shed for you, has set you free. And those that the Son has set free are free indeed. My. Woo. Ha. Oh, Lord. My. Woo. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Oh, Lord. Oh, my. Oh, I sense by the Spirit of God. Oh, there's been some nasty curses put on some folks in here. Oh, there's been some nasty curses on your family and on your children. You hadn't been able to get past some certain things. Witchcraft went down through your lineage, went through some curanderos in your life. My. You thought it was going to be just good magic. You thought it was going to be the good things. You stepped in through the wrong door. But the mere fact that you're here tonight, God says, I have already shut that door. All you've got to do is renounce it right now. Denounce it right now. that you want nothing to do with that door that was opened by a spiritual thing that you knew not of. So we shut those doors right now, and we walk through the door of righteousness through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. And Father, we right now just proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you right now for every individual that may have been plagued by curses, oh God. My, even through a lineage, Father, they knew not of that the iniquities of their forefathers, Lord, that they've been under a curse, God. We thank you that the curse is reversed. It is broken off of their life, God, and they are set free. They are set free. They are set free. That the owls will no longer show up in the trees. They will no longer be around the houses to even release a curse. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that what you're doing is you're setting the people free. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for the hour of deliverance is now, oh God, for the people of God. We are being delivered and set free from the bondages of the enemy, the bondages of our mind, and the bondages of our forefathers. Lord, I thank you that tonight is a night that you will loose us into our destiny, loose us into our destined place, God, where we are no longer bound to the things of our past, to the things we knew not of, but to the things, God, that we are bound to is only bound by the Spirit of the living God, where you take us. We must abide in it, God. We will walk in it, for we abide in you as you abide in us, oh God. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Lord. Oh. My. There has been some alliances that have been formed that were not called of God. There have been some people that aligned themselves with others that were not called of God. They were not healthy relationships. And God's saying, I'm about to do away with that thing that has caused you to lose ground, to lose speed and momentum. I'm about to take you into a new place, a new territory, new dimension in me where you will begin to see that I have kept you, I have sustained you, and I'm about ready to release you into your prophetic destiny. But you have to understand that what I remove from you, do not go back and attach yourself to it. My. Woo. My. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us fill our houses. Let them be occupied with your word. Let them be occupied with your presence. That when the enemy tries to return and sees that the house is full. Occupied. With the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. My. Let every worldly desire be put away from you. Let you desire the things of the Spirit of God and desire the things of righteousness. Continue to seek it and seek him first, and you shall see that everything else that you are in need of shall come unto you. Huh. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're so good. Hallelujah. Do you believe that tonight is a night of deliverance? Come on, we can turn up these lights in here just a little bit. Start with the sconces first. Overhead lights, please, Triton. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. Thank you, Lord. I feel it. Hallelujah. I had an opportunity to spend some time with the gift that God has given me, my precious granddaughter. Amen. And as I stared into the eyes of my granddaughter, I began to see some things that reminded me of me. You know, whenever you look at your children, you can see glimpses of yourself. But it was interesting when I looked into her eyes at 3:00 in the morning as she was wide awake. I began to see some things that I didn't think I was going to see. I began to see my father, began to see some other relatives within her eyes. And it was like the Lord was showing me. He says, "Whoo, I feel it. Thank you." You see, when Moses was called to be a deliverer of the people of God, he didn't ask for it. He did not ask for it. But he had a heart to seek God. To seek God.
Not to seek God to find out more about God, but to seek God more and find out what God wants to do. Not for himself, but for others. Did you hear that? He didn't go asking God, what can you do for me? He went to ask God, what do you want me to do for your people? See, he wasn't selfish. So I began to look through the eyes of my granddaughter, and I started to see different faces in my lineage, my family. I began to understand that God says, I've called a people to come together. To come together. But what happens is, in our life, we become separated. We get separated through issues of our life. I said, God, I don't want to miss what you have. I don't want to miss what you have for the people of God. I want to know what I got to do. What do I got to do? It's one thing when we start praying, Lord, bless me. Lord, I need this, I need that. Bless me. And then I knew, that's not what it's about. I need to know what you want me to do. I don't want to miss what you have. I know you call people for a reason. How many of you know that you're called? Do you know that you're called? Let's say it again. Do you know that you're called? You're called to be separated from what? The world. Oh, okay. I don't want to hear that. Okay. Out of the world to separate you from the world. He called you unto himself. So I began asking God concerning what we as a people need to do to experience what he wants to do in this hour. How many people been hearing about revival, revival, revival? Huh? How many of you want revival? Huh? Or you're like, whatever. Just let's get through this. Well, I want revival. Why do I want revival? Because it's not for me. Let me say it again. Revival isn't for me. Revival is for the kingdom. For the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? So you should desire the revival for the kingdom of God. How many of you can take the time to look back over the course of church history and see so much transformation going in a different direction? Is it a good direction? Do you think that we've grown as a bride? Be honest with me. Some of it has changed a bit. Maybe we have a little bit more revelation than before. But isn't it interesting that we can look over the history of the church, begin to see gifts move in greater dimensions, which is great. Praise and worship has gone through a whole different dimension totally than what it was before. You don't have hymnals like you used to. Okay? And don't get it twisted. I'm not bashing them. I'm just telling you we're at a whole different level. Ministry from the pulpits has been different than before. They come with more revelatory words, correct? It's revelatory teaching that we're going to get revelation of what God is doing in that hour, correct? Okay, so that's all good. But let's look at how the church, the bride, interacts with the bride. Do you understand? Let's break it out of the spiritual sense and let's look at it in this sense. How many, without asking a question that makes you feel like you have to answer, have you seen individuals who treat animals, things, or other people better than their own spouses? You seen that? We're going to say it again? No, so we've seen it, right? How many of you have seen pastors treat congregants, people, better than their own spouse? See, here's where we haven't grown. There is a spirit that continues to be within the church where the positions, titles, and offices that are held feel like they're not subject to being humbled. I said, Lord, I will stay on my face before I want to come up here and make you feel like I'm not going to be humbled. Remember, I told you from the onset, I will be transparent for a reason. There will not be a pedestal with you putting me on it. I'm just a mere man. Amen? That make a whole bunch of mistakes just like every one of us. We all make them. Now, so I began to see, and I was up quite late Sunday evening, and I want you to understand this. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to church by 6:15 Sunday morning. Got the phone call to go help my daughter with my granddaughter. So I was up 24 hours. Got to the point I didn't even know what day it was. I need my sleep, me. Even if it's just 10 minutes on the couch falling asleep, then I can get my little thing. Here's what I'm telling you. I spent a lot of time thinking that night. I said, God, is there something in me that you need to deal with me? Is there? Deal with it. So that I want to move to that next place in you, in my relationship with you. And then I began to see through my granddaughter's eyes, different faces. He says, some of the things within the body of Christ, the people do not even know that it's present in their lineage. So I said, wow. It's okay. So without getting any deeper than that, I just began to pray. I began to sing when I was spending time with my granddaughter. And as I was singing, this is what came to me. Thank God nobody was around, just me and her. I was like, Lord, I want to be set free. I want to be set free. I want to be set free. That's all I kept singing. I want to be set free. I want to be set free. Now, you would think, holding my grandbaby, I'd be singing, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. I said, I want to be set free. Why is that? Why did I start singing that? Because I didn't want my grandbaby to follow anything of my iniquities that I have may have not dealt with. Do you see that? And I began to look deep within myself. What is there, God, that I've yet to even touch the surface of? I want to make sure that what I leave for my granddaughter and my babies growing up behind us is that I don't want nothing in my lineage or iniquities within me that my kids have to pay the price for. We can't walk around thinking because we're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost that you don't need to be delivered of your own demons. Don't get me started with the fact that we have people that stand at the pulpits preaching to every single individual that they need to get delivered, but they themselves don't get delivered. Amen. That's why I look and I said, God, it's like I've got animals. If you ask any of my family members, they can tell you what animal is mine. How do I reference my cat? The demon cat. She's bipolar. Nobody can mess with her but me. See, that cat I rescued from someone always torturing her. My kids witnessed this kid throwing rocks, boulders at it, swinging it by its tail as a kitten. And when we lived two houses down, when we were getting ready to move, I took that cat. I said, no, this ain't going to happen. This cat's not going to die like that. I took the cat. It's been very partial to me. That night I was with my grandbaby, spent the night there. Mom says, yeah, as soon as I got home, the cat went upstairs and realized you're not there and left. Truth? Truth. Now, I make sure that I don't put more attention to that cat than I do my wife or my kids. I'm saying this, it's kind of trivial. But too many times I have seen, well, people put too much emphasis on an animal, thing, workplace, whatever the case may be, than their own loved ones? Are you following me? So they are already out of order. Oh, don't get this twisted now. We must be under the order that God has given us. We are to seek Him first. Him first. We are to love God first. Then our spouse, our own family within the home. Hello? Amen. If you have ministry, then ministry. If not ministry, your extended family. Do you understand? When we begin to put things out of perspective and out of order, we begin to lose what God has told us to do. And there's a reason why He has us do it this way. So I got in the Word. I said, God, you got to show me this. What do I have to do to make sure that I deal with my iniquities? So I don't carry it with me. I want to make sure that when I leave this earth to be with my daddy in heaven, that I left a lineage that my grandkids, my kids, can continue following and reap the benefits of the seeds that I've sown. Amen? So turn with me, if you would, and this is what started this whole deal. On Sunday, we heard a message from Daniel Renee. Were you here on Sunday? You got blessed. If you weren't here, you missed it. It's on the podcast. But it challenged me in a way where all of our struggles and everything that we go through, we begin to get angry or we get frustrated, we get mad, and we question why. So I begin to say, God, well, I don't want to question. I just want to thank you for it, and then I want to know what's my next step. Amen? So I began reading in Matthew. Go with me to Matthew 4, verse 21. Go to verse 23, I'm sorry. Matthew 4, verse 23. Matthew 4, verse 23. Now in Matthew gives an account of how he begins to call the disciples unto him. And then when he gets to chapter 4, as he's going along and he's calling them, he's giving the lineage of who they are. And I'll just give you an example here. We'll start. I'm going to read 21, get to 24, but hold on. Verse 21 in Matthew 4 says, as going on from here, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee. You see how he names the father there? And then we go on, says, their father mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When I begin to read this, I begin to see that God takes account to who you're connected with and who your lineage is. You read it all through Scripture. Some of us may not even know who our own fathers are or who our mothers are. We may not even have an understanding of what they were like or how they interacted in society. But you will reap some things because of the lineage. So God, I don't want to go through this and leave something behind for my kids that they have to deal with. So I want to deal with this. Amen. So I began reading this on verse 23. It says, Jesus is going throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and even healed them all. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea from beyond the Jordan. When I got to verse 24, I began to see something. First, he goes on, he's beginning to call the disciples unto him, and he lists the father's names. As he's listing the father's names, I begin to see that he's taking account who they are and who their father is. What does the father do? What is the father's occupation? You see, the sons are doing the same thing. Okay. What I don't want to do is to leave this earth and have my kids feel like they've got to follow in my footsteps to do what I'm doing. They have a destiny of their own. They have a calling of their own. My job is to make sure they follow their dreams that God has given them to fulfill. It would be the worst thing ever to make them feel that they've got to step up and they got to take the lead from here. And many have done that. I tell my kids, you go after what you love. Because if you do what you love, it's no longer work. It's your passion. And passion reproduces. And then I read here now that he's going in the synagogues teaching now. After he gets the disciples unto him. And then after he's doing the teaching, he begins to do what? Heal. As he's healing. As he's healing them. He lists what kind of healing is going on. Watch this. Every kind of disease, every kind of sickness, every kind. Suffering with various diseases and pains. Pains. There's pains in the body. And how many, you know, you got pains in your heart? How many have been wounded by someone you trusted? Someone you trusted deeply that should have never wounded you, should have never came against you. He heals those kind of wounds too. But if we don't want to deal with them, we'll carry them on and they'll stay within the lineage. And then as the children get older, they have to face the things that you never faced. Because you were afraid to face him. So I told you about a month ago, I sat there watching TV, and the Lord delivered me of having guilt and anger towards my father. Because he wasn't here to experience my wife and my children. That was just a month ago. Still getting delivered. And I say that because there's a lot of things that we need to be delivered from. I wasn't foaming at the mouth. I wasn't spitting up. My head wasn't spinning around, spitting up pea soup. I just began to cry and weep before the Lord and said, wow, God, I didn't know that was there. Because he showed me how to deal with it. Do you understand? You know how many people walk around, even filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, praying for folks left and right, and still have an issue with rejection? Isn't it something? And we sit in churches that teach you how you're accepted by God and not to feel the rejection that comes from your past, but yet they never get over that issue of rejection because they never want to deal with that issue. So then what happens all the time is we got to deal with that issue in church. And you know when you have an issue of rejection is when you're not called to do a certain thing, you get upset. I was overlooked, and I've been here the longest. And you get upset. I'm mad. Why are you mad? Why are you mad? Well, everybody else is doing something. Or this one. I am just as anointed, and I can preach just like them. I can rightly divide the word. And I can minister and prophesy just like them. You know what rejection makes you do? Compare. Makes you compare. Now here's the thing. We continue on in life that way. All we're doing is putting band-aids and band-aids and band-aids and band-aids. I told God, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be stuck on band-aids and band-aids not stuck. So what I decided to do was to continue to go before God on a daily and tell God, deliver me. Deliver me. I want everything that is not of your kingdom out of me.
We need revival in the people of God, in the churches all across the land. We need revival in the world system so people can understand they need deliverance too. And that type of deliverance comes with an understanding that it's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness. That we continue to go after the darkness, you will live in darkness the rest of your life. Lest you go to the kingdom of God and seek him first. We're going to find out how we're going to get there. Many of us were taught this specific thing. And we thought, oh, we learned it all. Raymie, we probably went through and already teach it inside Sunday school already. Go with me to Matthew 5. Verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, here we go, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Lord. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. Watch this. Listen to verse 13. Who is the salt of the earth? Say it again. Who is the salt of the earth? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Who's the salt of the earth? Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and gives its light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we all know this to be the Beatitudes, right? The Beatitudes. How many people have learned that while they were in Sunday school or we taught it, you know, it's the Beatitudes. This is how you're supposed to be. And this is how you're supposed to act. Blessed means to be happy. Happy are those that are peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Happy are those that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So I began to see all these things and I said, God, what is necessary for revival? Attitude. Do you have a good attitude towards God or a bad attitude? How is your light shining? Is your light shining bright or is your light shining dim? Now, since y'all all know how I like to cook and eat, how many of you have that light that is on your stove that you click on and it comes on so that you can see when you're cooking, right? How many times have you had to clean that light bulb from all the grease that's on it? Like, I don't touch that one. When it goes out, then I don't even forget it. It's been out for over 2 years, been in this house for five. That light work, no, it needs a new bulb. How long has it been out? Oh, about 2 years. I mean, don't change it. It's full of grease. Ain't nobody want to touch something that's dirty, especially grease.
I said, Lord, it just seems like every time I'm going through something in my life, something's attaching to my light. Every time I'm going through a circumstance in my life, the light that is supposed to be shining bright gets tainted from something that I've been going through. And it attaches to me. And I carry it on. My light is not shining bright as it used to. Matter of fact, you can look over at any light under a vent hood, and if it's not clean on a daily basis, it becomes very yellow and dingy. Not bright and white like it's supposed to be. Yellow and dingy. And I find it interesting that even, you know how we have the particles that fall down, the dust from the vents and all that, it attaches to that grease. And when you go to change that bulb, it's like, oh my God, look at all this dust that's on there. How did it get there? That, can you imagine? That's the dust that's right over your food that you're cooking. You're like, I'm going to go change that bulb tonight. Watch. But when you go through something in your life, something's going to attach to you. Now, it depends on how you're going to deal with it. Are you going to process it and move on and get rid of some stuff? Or are you just going to let it linger on? See, the other day, there was a crock pot at our home. And we put in this big old piece of meat. It was a roast. Sorry about that big. Seasoned to perfection. Put in a slow cooker. And it began to just stay cooking for hours. And what started out big wound up small. But you see, the cooking took place downstairs. When I went upstairs, all the aroma and everything was in every piece of my clothing within my closet. Because our closet's right over the stove in the kitchen. See, every time we go through something, there's always going to be a residue on you that others can see. And we must be willing to say, there's something on me. There's something on me. Because my lamp isn't shining like it used to. It started off real bright when I got saved. Thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I can speak in tongues, and I can quote scripture left and right. I'm doing real good. I'm bright to take on any and every devil. You had a few victories, amen. Quite a few more defeats than usual. And then what you were once all excited about and ready for and to take on, you've caught some stuff along the way. And there's an aroma, there's a fragrance, there's something that's on you. We call it a stench, but sometimes you don't even know it's there. Because you've been around it for so long, you don't even realize that you stink. Is your light shining? Or are you just going through the motions because it's easier to go through the motions? See, and I think that's what has happened too many times, that we as a people, we go through life thinking that everything is okay. Because we've gone through the motions. We're doing everything that we know to do, but we're not going through and dealing with the very issue. So when I began to read the Beatitudes, if you would, I began to see that God was trying to tell us that these are the things of the kingdom of God that we must abide to. The first attitude is in verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first attitude is we need humility. We need humility. How are we going to get revival? By being humble. Humble. Not arrogant. Not prideful. Not like, because I know so much, you've got to listen to me. I've been through revival before. And you have got to listen to me. I know how it happens. I know how to cause revival. I know how to spark revival. Well, all those eyes tell me I shouldn't follow you. Amen. That's your kingdom. I'm seeking the kingdom of God by being humble. Hallelujah. The first attitude is we must remain humble, and humility is the key. Poor in spirit, Jesus was talking about the opposite of self-sufficiency. Poor in spirit speaks of those who realize that they are in total helplessness and lost apart from God. Do you understand that? That you must realize you need God for everything. Everything. Not just your money. The first thing we go to is, oh, I need my bills paid. God's going to come through. There's more to that. Jesus gives a parable in Luke 18. Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. If you're taking notes, that's Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. Just write that down and put it on the Message Bible. When you have the opportunity to read it then. It says here, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers and crooks and adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all of my income. Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadow, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner. Jesus commended, this tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. That's out of the Message Bible. I like the Message Bible. Sometimes it tells you like it is. So he gives that parable and he begins to speak that. And the difference between the two men is one approached God in his self-righteousness. The other approached God in his humility. One was accepted and the other was not. See, in order for us to get revival within the reach of people, revival to really come forth, we need humility. We need the churches to be humble. We need people to learn how to get into prayer and seek God for the things of God, not for their own self-righteousness, not for their own gain, not for things for their ministry, not for things that will get them further along in their ministry. I told God, when we go to Kenya, God, I want them to see you and not me. I want them to experience you and not me. And while I'm there, God, I want to experience you in them. Because I'm going to get blessed while I'm there. I know that I'm going there to be a blessing, and I'm going to get blessed in return. Because they hunger and thirst after God like never before. And I want to go and be humble and be a servant of the Lord. That the grace of God is displayed before many. That I remain low. And in his season, he will raise me up. Amen? So I'm praying that God will bring forth such a revival that people will see him in every movement that has taken place. It says in Psalms 51, verse 17. Psalms 51, verse 17. Out of the Message Bible, it reads this way. Psalms 51, 17 says, I learned, God, worship. When my pride was shattered, heart shattered, lives ready for love, don't for a moment escape God's notice. Heart shattered lives ready for love, don't for a moment escape God's notice. I was like, Lord, is that why we go through so much? Is that why we constantly go through some valleys? It seems like we have more valley experiences than we do mountaintop experiences. It seems like we're mainly in the valley fighting these Philistines more than we are being at the mountaintop spending time with God. I said, God, I want to be able to spend time with you. I want to be in that mountaintop. I want to be there just conversing with you. He says, you can do that on a daily basis with me. He says, but I don't need you up here. I need you in the valley for others. I need you in the valley where most of the people are at. Because only
the chosen get to be. Only the chosen. I said, Lord, many are called, but few are chosen. Is that what you're saying? I don't want to be that person that says, I know I'm chosen and I'm only called. Let me say it again. I don't want to be the one thinking that I'm chosen and I'm only called. Because then you begin to start acting like you're entitled to that position you're not even called to. Josh, help me on this one, please. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to park right here. I'll let you. Click, 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 click. I don't put that in park. We're going to stay right here. See, what happens is we think that because God has called so many that we have appointed ourselves to be the one that he has chosen. You don't know you're chosen through the trials that you're going through. That you can turn around and look and not everybody's going through it but you. You can go through some stuff and you said everybody else should be, if they're chosen, should have been with me. But they ain't. It's just you going through some stuff. Some of it's self-inflicted. I understand. We go through some stuff. We cause things to happen in our life. But there's some things that you just walk in and all of a sudden hell is all around you. How did I get here? Because you're chosen. What am I chosen for? To be in the pit of hell. I didn't submit my resume for this position. I'll just stay called. I don't want to be chosen to go through the hell and feel like I'm alone in it. I don't want to be like one of the three Hebrew boys saying, I know that God, you spared my life for a reason, but not just so that I can get into this furnace. Are you understanding this? See, many are called, but few are chosen. But when you feel like you're the one that you put yourself into that promotion yourself to be in a place that God didn't call you to be, woo! You will face some demons you are not going to beat. Oh, did I rock your world? Oh, you have power over every demon. No, you don't. Only the demons that he allows you to have power over. You haven't graduated to that next phase. To face the demon that you're about to face, he's got your number. And when he calls it, he knows how to call it. He reminds you of some things that you're going to go through because you went through it before. Then all of a sudden, it begins to manifest differently in your life. See, I've been in situations where I thought, this is what God has told me to do, and it had nothing to do with God. It had to do with me, myself, and I. I put myself in situations like that. Many of us do. We put ourselves in our own promotional states. We belong here. Self-entitlement. Self-promotions. But then God never puts you there. So then when you slide back down, you get angry and get mad because this was you, God. You told me. I didn't tell you. I showed you a glimpse of something. I didn't say when. I didn't say when. I didn't say now. Matter of fact, I never said how it was going to be done. I just showed you a glimpse. Then all of a sudden, things are going to get a little crazy. I said, God, it seems like every time we start to progress into some things. We begin to grow. It's like all of a sudden now we're in the very belly of all kinds of hell. There's fire that is just testing us on all sides. This doesn't seem right, God. Remember what Danielle said? This doesn't seem right. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, that I know to do, but it just seems like I can never get ahead. Maybe he's checking our attitude in the midst of that fire. Is he checking our attitude? Are we going to remain humble? Are we going to get upset? Oh, watch this.
times do we feel or have we seen individuals come around church because they want something? They want something, so they come in church and they're all holy for like a month. They got their little cloth and they're polishing their halo. Because they need something from God. So they want to get things right with God. Then all of a sudden the blessing comes. Something transpires and they're like, yes, I got it. See ya. And they're gone. And then about 3, maybe 6, maybe 7 months later. Hey, Sister Susie, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Well, I need y'all to pray for me. I lost the job that I got. I was wrongfully accused of something, and you know, the devil's a liar. Is that the job you were praying for to get? And you got it, huh? Oh, and then we haven't seen you since. Okay. We're going to pray that God humbles you, right? Oh, no, Pastor, I need a job. No, he's going to humble you first. You want me to pray what you want me to pray, or you want me to pray what God wants you to know? I'm going to humble you. He'll humble you. And then when all of a sudden things get to the point like, God, I just need you. I just need you, period. Not for a job, not for promotion, not to fix this. Not, I just need you. Then things start to get kind of put back into perspective. Things start kind of coming back into alignment with him, and things come into focus, and you get back and start walking with God again, but not for your personal gain, but to gain more of him. And once you start to gain more of him, you begin to see things differently. And then we can obtain what he has for us, and we can get gain. You understand? It's all in our attitude. What is our attitude? It should be of humility. That's the first thing that he says. This is the kingdom of heaven that he's talking about. The very first attitude he speaks of is the kingdom of heaven. He speaks of it that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is he saying? He's saying that those that are humble, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How do we get those signs and wonders and the healings, and you see the miracles and the miraculous take place? By being humble. It is not you working, it is God working through you. You can't take the glory for it. And there's so many books being written about the glory, so many books being written about the power of God, but yet they attribute it to their things that they did. It's not ours, it's his. We walk in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We can access the power of it by being humble. Then all of a sudden you get someone that attaches to you, because they see something on you. Ooh, you gifted. Oh, Sister Katrina, you know how to pray, sister. We need to hook them. We need to be praying together. We intercess together. Then you kind of go through a season where this is real powerful and tight. Next thing you know, there's something off in your prayer. Something infiltrated. See, the enemy is going to tell you everything you want to hear the way you want to hear it. You won't see the fruit of it until later, because you're not operating the way you should have been operating, because you let, and I talked about it the other day, a leech came in. It started sucking the life out of you. Don't let the leeches get in your life. Here's the thing. When you're on the climb, you're on your way up, they start trying to jump on you. You're going somewhere. I don't want to have to work so hard, so let me just connect with you. Let me connect with you, and I'll just go higher with you. Because you have insight that I can't get. And then they start picking your brain, Sister Katrina. Well, how did the Lord just reveal that to you? How did you know? My God, when you pray, I feel it within my soul. I know that came from the throne of God. They start building you up. They start beginning to pat you on the back spiritually. And you begin to say, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I heard from heaven. They're already in there sucking the life out of you. See, the thing is, when you're on the climb, they want to go with you. But when you're down on your face, no one don't want to be near you. Every time you're down and out and God calling, crying out to God, Lord, I need you more than ever in my life, just because I need you. Ain't nobody want to be around them. Nobody wants to be around when you're having to go through something. Especially when the fire's turned up. Ain't nobody want to be around you when things aren't going right, Josh. Nobody want to be around you. You're like, oh, I ain't going to be around Josh. Things ain't going right for him. But when he's successful, when he's doing good, I can tell because his countenance changed. That's when I want to get around Josh. Yeah, because he's happy. He's doing good now. I want to be around Josh. Because Josh, when he's doing good and he's happy and stuff, he's a giver. But when he ain't got much, he's real quiet. And I know I don't want to be around that because I can't get from him that way. Sound like some of your workers, huh? Family members. Family members. Family members. Family members don't want nothing to do with you when you're going down. Going through something. Being tried and tested by God. Been through some stuff. Family members don't even understand, but they judge you. They put the words on you, put the mouth on you, judge you, start talking about you, start telling you, you ain't ever going to be anything. It's just your fault. You did this to yourself. Then they get mad at you. So you're down and out, and you're just there sitting there waiting on God, waiting on God. Help me, God, help me. I've been through some stuff. I've been through so much stuff. I'm tired of going through, God. I just need to know that I'm going to make it through what I'm going through, God. I need you in my life to govern, to rule, to show me. Not because I need success, but I need you, God, in everything in my life. See, we begin to get a different perspective when we're going through some stuff. Gets to the point now where you sit there. I don't need anything else that this world can give me. Because if I ain't got God, I won't have peace. And if I don't got God, I don't have the protection that he has promised me. See, for many people think that, well, you ain't going to get blessed unless you got God. That's a crock. I've seen a lot of blessed people. I know a lot of blessed people that don't even do for God, don't even tithe for God. And I see more of the people of God suffering, going through, and I don't see them getting blessed. But I can ask them one thing. Do you got peace of what you're going through? Something is about to change. And I got something deep within my spirit that tells me that God's got me. I take that more than anything else. Because with everything I work hard for, it may be slipping away from my hand. But if I got God in my life, he will give me peace in the midst of my storm. He will change some things for me. And the people don't want to be around me when I'm going through some stuff. I don't need you to hold me back anyhow. I ain't working this for myself. I'm working for my lineage. I'm going to get some stuff out of me that don't need to be in me no more. Because I'm going somewhere. If you don't belong around me where I belong, you don't need to be around me. Why is that? Because not everybody is going where you're going. Many people want to get to the destination, John, but they're not called to that place. They can be the very hindrance to keep you. 11-day journey turned out 40 years. You don't want to hook up with anybody just because they tell you what you want to hear. Just because they quote the very scripture that you've been believing God for. That must be the word of the Lord. I got to stay right there because this I know to be God. You don't think the enemy knows what God has spoken to you? You know how he knows? Because you speak it.
You start calling, and you start calling Aunt Boo Boo and Chee Chee and start telling them everything. You start telling them, oh, this is what the Lord showed me. Guess what the Lord showed me? This is what I'm going to be doing. And this is what the Lord's plans are for me. And how do you think the enemy knows everything? Because you speak it.
All of a sudden now, you got folks all around you that weren't there before. I said, what? Who you is? What your name is? I don't know you. I'm going to watch you. Because I got to know those who I labor. You won't go through some stuff with me. You can go through the fire before you get any kind of glory. You want to know what it's like to go through and lead a people? Come on into the trenches, baby. Come into the trenches. Well, Pastor, I got a word. Yeah, that word you're going to hold until I tell you to release it. Well, no, I got a word. Well, hold that word I said. You don't think that I got people in here that can prophesy left or right, prophesy the paint off the wall? I got kids in here that will tell you like it is from the word of the Lord. You need somebody here coming through here and tell me that this is what you got to hear, Pastor. I ain't got to hear nothing from you. I don't know you. Is this a little rough for you? We okay? I'm giving you examples, guys. That's one thing I can tell you. If I got a question... right here. I go right here. She's got a question. Guess where she goes? Right here. Right here. We keep it right here. It irritates moms. It does. When they find out what we're going through, they get mad. How come you tell us? We're working this out. We're trying to figure it out. Why? Because moms don't let them find out. We'll be praying resurrection for folks. Because the love that they have for us. So we work some things out. What do we do? I don't know. We go at it. What about this? I don't know. I just don't know. And then I get frustrated. And she gets frustrated. We're like, God! There's where we go. You understand? And then when God speaks, He confirms. He confirms. So I don't need, listen, and I'm saying this for you. You don't need just another person come by giving you a word. Guess what? You don't have to receive it. Even if it is from God, you do not have to receive it. I say, if it truly be you, God, then let my pastor, someone in covenant, someone in relationship, someone that has the heart of God for me, speak this to me without any ulterior motives. There is a story in the Bible about a prophet, senior prophet, and a younger prophet that took the other prophet off course and died on the road. Because the prophet spoke to him something that was not true. Half truth. I'm trying to tell you, it's all about relationship and how, excuse me, we interact with the bride. Do you believe that to be true? We're the bride, correct? So, being that we're the bride, should we just let any groom come in and tickle our ears and, ooh. Tell me that word again. That was good. I'm going to do what? Oh, my God. I'm going to go be kings and queens all over the world. Have to understand that in relationship, I know pastors that if you're not in relationship with them, you're cut off. I got a word for you. Keep it. We're not in relationship. I don't need to hear from you. I got this letter for you. Who are you? The Lord told me to give you this. The Lord didn't tell you to give me that. You told yourself to give me that. If we're in relationship, God can speak to people that are in relationship with you. Watch this. On the same coin has two sides, right? Same coin has two sides. On the same coin, there's other people that are in your life that think they have a right. Oh, God. They think that they have a right to speak to you because of the relationship. I said, Lord,
we can't have this. We can't have this kind of thing going on in the body of Christ. We are the bride. And as a bride, we need to respect the holiness of the bride. And just because there's a word, or just because they discern, that doesn't mean you've got to receive at all. And ain't nothing wrong to say, God bless you, but can you hold that, please? Please. And then if they get mad, you'll know the spirit behind it. Well, you don't understand. I'm such and such. Yeah, you are such someplace else, but not here. I said, Lord, I feel something trying to creep in. And I don't like it. I'm going to deal with it. He says, you better do it humbly. I don't know how to do that, God. That's something you got to teach me, because I'm ready to get it on. He says, I need you to understand something. So many of the self-entitled positions have been kicked out of many places that have been trying to deal with them. Because I was trying to deal with them in different places, but they wouldn't submit. I said, Lord, I don't want that spirit in here. No, I don't. Because the spirit will loose itself and loose seeds in the atmosphere. We can't have that. What do? We remain humble. And we pray. And when we pray, we know that there's relationship we must continue to seek after, and to seek after his relationship. Amen. So the first attitude is that we'd remain humble. Second attitude, we need an attitude of repentance and not be grace abusive. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This mourn in this sentence here does not mean death. It means to sorrowfully grieve because of sin. So it means that they have to repent to be forgiven of that. Okay? So we need to have a repentant heart, and we need to not be so grace abusive, where grace is going to cover us and cover the sin that can't be judged because of the grace. The reality is every sin will separate you from God. And if it goes on without being repentant, without turning away from it, you'll get further and further away from God that you won't even realize it. It makes you numb. You got to be careful with it. We need an attitude of repentance. You remember I talked about how King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he sat there and realized that he did something that was very wrong. And he began to mourn. He began to cry out. So many things began to happen in his life. In 1 John 1, verse 9. Take notes. 1 John 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. Now, in Psalms 51, 4, in the Message Bible, this is how David felt. This is how David felt based on his sin. It says this. Do you remember? Watch this. Psalm 51, 4 says this. God, you're the one I violated. You've seen it all. You've seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. Isn't that interesting? David himself said, I know I've messed up. And whatever you decide, I know it's fair. I know it's fair. So we've got to have a repentant heart. And that's what David did. He repented. He agreed with his sin, with God, with his conviction. This is wrong. We need an attitude of repentance to see revival. Number three, attitude three. We need an attitude of teachability. We need to be teachable, not headstrong. Matthew 5:5 says this, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, teachable, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek is not spineless person or has no backbone. The actual original language of meek is used in bridling a horse or taming a wild animal. The word meek is a picture of power under control. Power under control. See, a lot of us, we probably think that meekness means you're weak or you're timid or you're shy. That's not what it means. It's power under control. Just as when you're talking about one whose life has been brought under the influence of the Holy Spirit, God is in control of his or her life. The meek are sensitive to the divine will of God. The meek are not easily provoked or irritated. They're not proud or self-sufficient or stubborn. They are not unmanageable or ill-tempered. Jesus himself was meek. We'll stop right there. I'll read this scripture for you real quick. Matthew 11:29, the King James Version. Matthew 11:29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus is meek. We want revival. We got to understand what he wants for us to be like. He began to teach of the kingdom of God in that manner. He began to sit down and teach the disciples after displaying the miracles that were taking place in the synagogues with all the healing. He displayed the kingdom first, then he began to teach them about the kingdom. Those attributes of the kingdom for healing, miracles, signs, and wonders are for us here today. They have not passed away. The gifts have not done away with. And many teach on it. Many teach the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues is not for today. And they'll use the scripture to bind you up with it. It's not true, because the perfectness has not come. The perfect one has not come. That is Jesus that they're talking about. So we have to understand that what God has given us is for us to use now, here, the kingdom principles here on earth. Why? Because we have a people that we've got to touch. We've got people that we've got to save. We've got people that we've got to go out and bring wholeness to. Do you understand? The trick of the enemy is to keep us so caught up in the things that we feel like we don't have to be humble because we know so much. I used to be in a church that everywhere we went, and I got caught up in the same thing, that our church was better than everybody else's church. You need to come to ours. Ours is better. That's wrong. Wrong spirit. Oh, our praise team is the best. You need to come over here. Wrong spirit. The presence of God is the most important thing. You come to seek God. The Bible says this, when two or three are gathered in his name, he's where? In the midst. That is the greatest thing right there. We need to come together and do this. We want revival, then we've got to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like, so we can operate like the kingdom. Amen? Will you get tested and tried? Yes. Most definitely. Sometimes you'll feel like you're walking alone, that you've been walking alone for a long time. But just know that God is with you. He's going to help you through. He's going to deliver you of all your iniquities, the iniquities of your forefathers, and he's going to bring deliverance to you and to many. That is his heart. That is his desire, to make his bride whole without spot or blemish. And if we don't work towards being that bride, we'll delay his return. We can continue saying all we want, that Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. They've been saying it for over 2,000 years. And every time now, oh, it's getting closer. Things are lining up. And I look at the state of how the bride is, and I see that there's so much discord. And I see how many are speaking ill of the churches and how the church doesn't know how to get into the presence of God anymore. It's just like me telling my wife, you don't know how to get into the presence. Let me break it down real for you so you can understand this. That's my bride. It's like me telling my bride, you don't know how to love me. You don't know how to take care of me. You don't even know how to sing to me. You don't even know how to display this to me. You don't know how to do this for me. What do you think the response from her is going to be? Excuse me? Say it again. Bye. See ya. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. Why am I saying that to you? Because that's how many of us speak of the church. Well, this church ain't dead. This church ain't got nothing. It's still the bride. We're the bride. And every time you want to talk about your neighbor, you're talking about his bride. We ain't nowhere near. All our wrinkles need to be ironed out with heat. All the spots need to be taken out with a different kind of bleach. Because we keep treating ourselves all over the place with disrespect and no honor. We're his bride. When we look at other people's skin color and say, you're not like me, I'm superior than you, we're nowhere near him returning. Nowhere near. Get mad at me all you want. All you want. For every prophet, every apostle, for every so-called elitist out there, the church is so against each other right now in the worst state that I've seen it, because they come against each other. We need to respect each other as a bride. His bride, not your bride, his bride. When you realize that it's his bride, we should have respect for one another like never before. And quit getting angry and upset because you're not being used in a certain way. How about doing what he already said for us to do? Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. That wasn't in the church. That was out there in the world. That's what we need to do. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would please.